Pregunta una. Uno o una.
Uno.
Uno. What are the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita? What are the five? No. Karma. Jiva. What means jiva? So, okay, good. Yeah, okay. I got to remember you speak Spanish. Living entity. What do you say?
Entidad viviente.
All right. We have two. Karma, living entity. Kala. What means kala?
Tiempo.
Tiempo, time. Now we have three. Nope. Not Bhagavan. Ishvara. The controller. And what's the last one? Huh? Yes, material nature. Very good. These are the five subject matters of Gita. One of them is not eternal. No, that's eternal. Only one is not eternal. No. Okay, we're running out of options. Huh? Karma. Every karma has an expiration date. Otherwise, if karma was eternal, we'd always be here. There'd be no liberation. You'd always be suffering. So thank God karma is not eternal. God is eternal. Soul is eternal. Material nature, the energy is eternal. Not the manifestation, but the energy. And kala, time, is also eternal because it's a manifestation of Krishna. But karma is not eternal. Very good. Next question. What are the two natures discussed in Bhagavad Gita? Okay, I accept that. That's all right. What are the two energies? Better way of saying. What are the two energies?
External.
See, what's another way of saying the same thing? What's another way of saying internal, external? Yes, material and spiritual. Very good. Excellent. The living entity. Does the living entity belong to the spiritual nature or the material nature? Exacto. So, if the living entity belongs to the spiritual nature, why does the living entity suffer? Because what? Yes, he identifies with that material energy. That's the only reason why he suffers. He identifies as a material thing, but he's not. So the living entity is crazy because he's identifying. It's just like if I hold on to the drum. Drum, leave me. Leave me. All I have to do is let go. But because I'm crazy, I'm holding on to the drum and blaming the drum that I can't let go. That is the living entity. Identifying with the body and mind, which he is not. Very good. According to the Bhagavad Gita, who, kien, is the ultimate truth? Who? I hope so. Because Krishna says there's no truth superior to me. Is there anyone equal to Krishna? Who? No joking. Not allowed by the teacher. Think you're clever? All right. Now. Oh, yes. No problem. All right. What are the 8 separated inferior energies? What are they? Santiago? Los Angeles? What are the 8 separated material energies? She's looking on Veda base. Tierra. Yes. Huh? Water. Agua. Fuego. Fire. Mente. Mind. Ego falso. Because there's real ego. Ego falso. See? What else? Earth. Water, fire, air. We said ether, mind. What's above the mind? See. And then false ego. Okay, very good. Let's see if we can get some more questions.
What are these things?
Separated. In other words, I'm making a recording. Tomorrow I will play back the recording. This recording is my separated energy. I spoke, it's recorded, it plays back every time. This material energy is Krishna's recording. It plays back. Exactly as he dictated. That's Prabhupada's example himself. He used a dictaphone back in the 60s. Okay? Okay, just like you are a musician. You go to the studio. Then you play it back. Oh, magnifico. I'm so good. Ego falso. Not just you, me too. Me también. Mucho falso ego. Demasiado. All right, next question. Krishna says that the material energy is insurmountable. What does he say is the only way to cross over? What? There's only one way. Yes. Surrender to Krishna. So the Christians say, only by Jesus. We say, no, only by Krishna. They don't have a monopoly. They think our book is the only book. We can say that too. We can also say, Bhagavad Gita is the only book. They don't have a monopoly. All right. Next question. Pregunta. Ah, Krishna gave two reasons why he was speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. What were Arjuna's two qualifications? Laveen, do you know? Oh! I'm so happy with you, Laveen. Come to the head of the class. Did anybody else know that? You knew? I know, but I just want to know if you knew. Very good. That's important. Devotee and friend. Now, coming up in 2 days, Gaur Purnima, Lord Chaitanya was asked, how do I know who is a devotee? What did he say? One who wears tilak? One who sits on the Vyasasan? What did Lord Chaitanya say that you can tell who's a devotee? What did he say? Huh? Which means what? Exactly. Anyone who says the name Krishna, he's devotee. Simple. Okay. Now we go to the fifth chapter. This is more más difícil. Three things in order to have peace. You need to know three things. What three things do you need to know to have peace? What did he say? Krishna is the proprietor, the enjoyer. And what? He said that. Come on. No. Friend. Proprietor, enjoyer, and your best friend. You know those three things, you can have peace. Not by any other means. Yesterday, I did a program. I told a story of myself. I was in Panama. In a penthouse apartment. The whole floor. I was doing a program for a very wealthy Indian person. After the program, one lady, Indian lady, she says to me, Swamiji, can you give me peace? She thought I had a magic wand that I would touch her. Now have peace. But I cannot do that. So I asked her, do you eat meat? She said, oh, I love meat. I said, I can't give you peace. Do you drink liquor? I love liquor. I can't give you peace. Do you gamble? We have fun. Cannot give you peace. Strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. No peace for you. If you want peace, these three things, you have to give up. You can't give them up. No peace. Okay. Now we go to chapter capitulo 6. What is the subject matter of the first half of capitulo 6? What is the subject matter? Yoga. What kind of yoga? No. Dhyana or Meditation. Yeah, dhyana, also known as meditation. So, the yogi, how are the eyes? According to chapter 6, how does the yogi use his eyes? Half close. And what does the yogi look at? Tip. Tip of the nose. I could never do yoga. Impossible. What is the first principle of yoga? Of any yoga. What's the first step? No. Control what? No. The mind. First you have to control the mind. Then you can control the senses. If you try to control the senses without first controlling the mind, failure. So the first order, any yoga, first order of business, control the mind. In capítulo 6, Krishna says the mind can be one of two things. Loving? You have learned Bhagavad Gita. And you have learned from personal experience. Am I right? Yes, me too. I have much experience with my mind being my worst enemy. Yes. Very good. You have answered two good questions today. You get special blessings. All right. After hearing the yoga system, what was Arjuna's response to Krishna? Impossible. Why? Por qué? Why did he say it's impossible? Si. El mente. Disturb. Very, very strong. How do you say? Por de eso?
Strong.
Strong.
Fuerte.
Fuerte. Powerful. That's por de eso. Poderosa. It's going to take me lifetimes to learn Spanish. Okay. After Arjuna said that he can't do yoga because of his mind, what did Krishna say? What did Krishna say? Go on your cell phone? No. Not every answer is surrender to Krishna. That's all right. That's not what he said. That's at the end. What did he tell Arjuna? No, you're making it too simple. All right, nobody knows? Levine? Okay, Krishna said, I agree with you. It's difficult. But it is possible. By constantly practice and being detached. Not just do your work. That's too easy an answer. Yes, he agreed. He said, but you have to do it properly, and be detached. Okay. Now, let's see what comes next. At the end of chapter capítulo 6, who did Krishna say is the topmost yogi? Sakshi. Who is the topmost yogi? Paramahansa Yogananda? Who is the topmost yogi? One who thinks of me with what? You said it the other, huh? With great what? I think you said it earlier. Great faith. Remember, didn't you say faith? Yeah, in other words, what kind of yogi is the best? What class of yogi? Jnana yogi, Raja yogi, Bhakti yogi. Muy importante. Muy importante. Bhakti yogi is top. Not the Hatha yogi. Not the Karma yogi. Jnana yogi. Bhakti yogi is topmost. Krishna says, in my opinion. All right. Now we go to Capitulo 7. See how you can learn, understand so many things from Bhagavad Gita? I'm giving you synopsis, the highlights. Does he want to go? We're okay? We can go for some time? Where are the bambinos? Oh, they're playing good. Okay. You like this? Gorgeous. Jai Maharaj. All right. In chapter 7, Krishna says, how many people will achieve perfection? How many? Very few, yes. That is true. Very true. Very few. Because he says, out of thousands of men, one may try. And of those who try, very few become successful. And of those that are successful, maybe one understands me. So one in a million understands Krishna. How many people live in Santiago? Millions. How many are in the class? Ten. You are trying to understand Krishna. The rest of them are trying to understand Maya. Who's better?
These ten.
Huh?
These ten.
Yes. I thought you said Christians. Okay, now, let's see what else there is in chapter 7. Ah, Krishna says, four kinds of people do not surrender to me. Who are they? Four kinds of people do not... Cuatro. So who are they? Yes. Naman duskritana mudha. The people who act like asses. Then the people who are very smart, but their knowledge is stolen by Maya, illusion. Naman duskritana mudha. Naradama. What is Naradama? Lowest among mankind. Then the intelligence, and then the last class. Who is the last class that does not understand Krishna? Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu. Yes, atheist, demons. Four kinds of people come to Krishna. Who is the first one? The distress. Levine, who's the next one? Those who want money. We know one person. He's after money. We know who we're talking about. Yes. He only wants money. He even told you today. Right? He was preaching to Sakshi. No, I cannot come in. I have to go after money. You know who we're talking about. Your arch enemy. Then the third one. What does that mean? No. What? What does that mean? Inquisitive. And the last class? What does that mean? Yes, looking for the absolute truth. Very good. Now, as we go, in the next section of chapter 7, Krishna says, why you should not worship demigods. He gives several reasons why you should not worship demigods. What are some of the reasons? Excellent. Not only temporary, but what else? Not only temporary. Limited. Limited. Not just temporary. Limited. So you're cheating yourself. What are some more reasons? What's that? You're getting close. Huh? I don't understand. No. The other reasons is that actually the benedictions of the demigods depends on who? Yes. So why not go to Krishna? Because you're just going through a middleman. Go directly to the boss. The other reason is that the reason people go to demigods is they are full of material desires. Their heart is distorted. Okay. Now, Krishna says, that in terms of time, what does Krishna know about time in chapter 7? What does he know about time? Think about time. What are its phases? There are three phases of time. Past, present, and future. Therefore, yes, but in terms of what he knows past, present, and future. There's your answer. He knows everything that happened before. Do you know?
No.
Krishna knows what's happening now. Most people don't even know what's happening now. And can you know what is the future? If Levine knew the future, he'd be a billionaire. We don't know the future. But Krishna says, I know all three phases of time. Past, present, and future. And then he says, nobody knows me. Even he doesn't know he. Yes. Krishna doesn't even know himself. He sits down, he thinks about himself, he discovers, oh, there's something else I didn't know. He's unlimited. Pretty far out, huh? And he doesn't understand Radharani. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya. Bueno. Very good. Now we go to chapter 8. In chapter 8, Arjuna asks 6 questions. The 6th question was about death. What determines your next life? What is the classic example, the classic story? Not Jadabart, but Bharat. What was he thinking of? And what happened in his next life? But? Not pious activities, his devotional activities, which are the most pious. But better to say, his devotion, because he was this close to love of God. That close. And he got attached to a deer, so Krishna had to punish him. He was this close. Stupid deer. Just like we see devotees, they get cat or dog. Very risky. Very risky. Be attached to Krishna. Not some cat or dog. Risky. Okay. Now, what happens if you think of Krishna at the time of death? That's all? That's all? That's better answer. You go to Krishna. Now, someone may say, wait a second. You said that whatever I'm thinking of at the time of death, that's what I become. So if I think of Krishna, I should become Krishna. What do you say? What? How, well, you got to explain. Defeat me. You, Prabhuji, you just said, Bharat was thinking of a deer, he became a deer. I'm going to think of Krishna and become Krishna. How do you preach to me? Good, good. So what does it mean I go to Krishna? Very good. But what benefit do what? Go. Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Huh?
You cannot love yourself.
What is he saying?
You cannot love yourself.
You can't what?
You cannot love.
Love? You're saying love?
Exactly.
You can't love yourself. So what does that mean?
That's why you can't become Christian.
Because that has to tie in with what he's saying, that you serve. Is that the idea, that love means to serve? I'm trying to understand the context of what you're saying. You can't love yourself. No, if it ties in with what he's saying, that we're going to serve Krishna, then your concept makes sense. All right. Okay. So, you can't become Krishna. So my question is, what is the benefit then of thinking of Krishna? What are you going to get? That was already said. Good, good, good. I know. I know that, but that's lesser. I want to have some positive information what I will be doing. And what happens when I serve Krishna? Good. Love of God. I'll be happy. Yes. You get Krishna Prema. All right. Enough of that question. Okay. That is the most important subject in the 8th chapter, that whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, that determines your next life. So Prabhupada says that what should you do so that you are ready for the moment of death? What should you be doing while you're alive? Yes, you should be practicing remembering Krishna. Not that, oh, so all I have to do is think of Krishna at the time of death? Easy. I will do anything, and at the time of death, Krishna, Krishna. Is that intelligent? No, Prabhupada says you must practice. Because the problem with that philosophy, that I'll do anything, but I'll remember. The problem is when you get into Maya, you forget Krishna. And there's no guarantee that you will remember. You may be so much in Maya, you won't remember. Because remembering Krishna depends on who? Yes! It doesn't depend on you. Why is that? Because in chapter 15, Krishna says, from me comes three things. So that ability to remember Krishna at the time of death has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Krishna. Therefore, you practice. And by that practice, Krishna goes, okay, you practice, I'm going to bless you at the time of death. It's very foolish to gamble like that. Oh, no problem. I'll do anything. Time of death, I'll remember Krishna. No. Last question. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that's repeated at the end of the 9th and 18th chapter. What is that instruction? Eat prasadam? That would be in my Bhagavad Gita. What is the verse that appears twice? What? No, that only appears once. How? Specifically, he says you should do some things. Think of me. What else?
Surrender. No.
Was already said. No. This is how you surrender. This is how you... So first thing is, you think. What else? No. It's something you have to do. Okay. Manmana bhava madbhakto. Become my devotee. Mam namaskuru. Namaskuru. Obeisances or offer prayers. Yaji. Now say it. Now you. Those are the things. You think of him. That's the first instruction. Think of him. Become his devotee. Bow down and offer prayers and worship him. That. Those things are repeated twice in Bhagavad. That is how you surrender to Krishna. Of course, surrender to Krishna is the answer, obviously. But I was asking a specific question. All right, one more question. At the end of Krishna's instructions, Krishna tells Arjuna something. This is before he says to surrender. Krishna says, I have told you everything. Now, it's up to you. What you want to do. What does that mean? What is the implication? Free choice, free will. He doesn't force. All right. That is your Bhagavad Gita exam. I give you B+. Very good. I see you tomorrow. Okay? Clase en la noche, mañana. Hare Krishna.